super strong, supernatural, and super bad. His punch can topple a skyscraper. His kick can split the earth in two. More destructive than an earthquake, mightier than a tidal wave. A one-man disaster area.
42nd Street Pete.
Shot full of lead and he still ain't dead. Jump back, Jack, for your skull is cracked.
42nd Street Pete.
Ladies and gentlemen, straight off the highway from hell, 42nd Street Pete!
Yeah, it's been pretty much a highway to hell because, I don't know, you know, I know we had Amy and Jan on last week, and as this is airing, they'll probably be kicking the shit out of somebody, but I probably bound, I don't know if I said this on the air or not, that I, you know, put a deposit on a house out in Ohio, a HUD house and shit, and I've been, you know, waiting to get a closing date, which never came. And then last week, I think it was, might have been Thursday, day of the show, because I was fucking rattled. I get this call, you know, we have the title, this and that and the other thing. And then it's like, when would you like to close? And I says, oh, well, you know, first week in July would be nice. And they go, well, your deal expires this Saturday. I'm like, what? He said, oh, yeah, your deal. I says, what are you talking about, deal? And I go, well, you're on your second extension. I'm like, I don't know any of this shit. My realtor doesn't know any of this shit, so what's going on? So she goes, well, I'll have to look into this and I'll call you tomorrow. I'm like, okay, well, fuck that. I'll be there Monday. Let's close now. So basically, I tied up all my loose ends by Saturday night and shot out of here Sunday morning, stayed over with, you know, Ken and Pam, went down, closed, you know, got let in, changed the locks, and we couldn't occupy the place until the next day. So we did that, and then we went in and assessed the damages, which, now here's the thing, which is very weird, and it actually is a stroke of luck for me, because I was only in this house once, because I saw like three or four houses in one day, and this was, you know, one of the ones I, you know, looked at, and, you know, my tendency to buy fucking horror shows, we all know, you know, happens. So I got talked into this one, because it was the better of the bunch. The only thing was it had a burst pipe, so all right, it was, you know, supposedly six rooms, and, you know, that's that. So, you know, I go through all this. We're checking it out. It's not six rooms. It's like eight rooms, and it has central air. So, like, holy shit. The only downside is it was burst pipes. So I got to, you know, it needs work, you know, not nothing crazy work, you know. Partially rebuild the kitchen and, you know, just basically seal all the walls, repaint the fucking place, and then, you know, little by little get in. So if I'm on hiatus, maybe in a couple weeks that might have to happen because I don't know when I'm going to have internet access up there. So that's that story. So I just basically did what I had to do by Wednesday because, you know, Ken and Pam are going to Monster Bash out in Pittsburgh, I believe it is, or around Pittsburgh. So didn't want to impose, and I had to get here and straighten some other shit out. So I'm going to WSU. I'll be there tonight, actually, to see Cindy's retirement match, and then do some shit, try to get, you know, tie up all my loose ends here, then probably be out there in 2 weeks, you know, permanently, and then, you know, just keep working on the fucking place. So that's what's been going on with me. So, you know, there was a bunch of other shit happening that I wanted to address back a couple weeks ago, but I forget what the fuck it was.
I tell you what, man, that's exciting news, though, because you're going to be able to basically, you know, you're going to be able to make this place your own. However you want to do it, you'll have storage space for your stuff. You'll be able to kind of make it your own, man. I'm really excited for you.
Yeah, to take a hit off a joint. Yeah, it's great. It's better than I thought because the way it's laid out, the master bedroom has an office attached to it. So, you know, as long as I get those two up and running, you know, within a reasonable length of time, I'll be good to go. Because I can just take my time and, you know, work on the rest of the house. You know, actually put my DVDs on shelves and see how much crap I really have. So, it'd be nice, you know.
I'm excited for you, man. I really am.
So then, you know, it's close to Wasteland. It's I'll be at Horror Realm on my birthday, September 16th. I'm doing that show.
Hell yes.
That's my next, pretty much next appearance before Wasteland. Wasteland has just added Ginger Lynn to the roster also.
Hell yes.
Yeah, so it's Frank Henenlotter, Slobberfest. You know, Frank, a bunch of people from his movies, Beverly Bonner. Geez, it's just, you know, the guy, people from Frankenhooker and, you know, other things like that. And then Gunnar Hansen, the original Leatherface, is going to be back. William Forsythe, who unfortunately had to cancel out last show. He'll be back. And Vanessa Del Rio, Ginger Lynn. I'll be trying to bring Eric. Eric's got to be there. He just hasn't put up his bio yet. But Eric Danville, the writer of, author of The Complete Linda Lovelace, which is soon to be a movie, will be there with the new revised edition for sale. And, you know, hopefully we'll be doing a panel to end all panels with this shit. So it's all very good.
It sounds like it's going to be just a blast. Like always, man, like always. And it's really good for you because you won't have to travel like overnight and be worn out, man. You'll travel, what, 10 minutes and then you're there.
Yeah, 20 minutes and I'm at the hotel. And, you know, Pittsburgh's 2 hours. And, you know, did I recap Saturday Nightmares at all? I don't recall.
I don't remember either.
Because we did a live show from there.
That was fun.
Mike Leese and his wife, Joanna, were great. They treated me with the utmost respect and courtesy, even though I don't fucking deserve it. But, you know, it was like jumping back into mode, jumping back in time. I, you know, jumped behind a mic, did my thing. It was like the good old days. And, you know, I'm looking forward to doing another one, coming back. Spent a lot of time with Sid Haig. You know, he was on, you know, live, as you know. And, you know, we're going to be doing something down the road, very special project with Sid. It's going to be all hush-hush for now, so fuck you guys. But, you know, it's going to happen. It's, you know, we've signed some contracts, and we're going to make this very special for Sid. So we'll be working on that soon, too. And, you know, once I'm up there, it's like I get all my ducks in a row and see what I got to do. I'm going to go full bore into the fucking book again. So
good. You'll be able to.
It'll be like, you know, I may not have to jump into it till the winter because I'll probably be like, you know, so psyched up and doing all this other shit. And, you know, but it's going to get done for a change. You know, I've been saying that for a long time, but it's going to get fucking done.
I think when I come up there next time, I should help you set up like a little mini studio so you can shoot your own wraparounds for your films and stuff right there. And you can even edit your own stuff.
Well, if you do come out, you know,
that's my plan.
Come out fucking early then.
That'd be awesome.
So, like I said, I'm going to have the office. That's basically, you know, where it's going to be. So, you know, I don't know if anybody, you know, will be with me in the near future, but I have room, so it's no big whoop. I got an upstairs, you know, it's the upstairs. Maybe, you know, I don't mind the heat, you know, and it'll probably be cool by the time you get out there. But the upstairs, I'm not really using at all. So that may be, what do you mean, to shoot like the video wraparound, you mean?
Yeah, so you can kind of be in charge of your own production on that stuff.
Oh, yeah, wonderful. Sit in front of a camera. That's how it started to begin with. I triggered off a camcorder, got down, sit in front of it, edited out my walking my fat ass in front of the fucking thing. And that's how the all something weird thing started.
That's so true.
That was all good. Oh, and I should bring this up. It's on a sad note that we lost Peter Falk today at
Columbo.
Yeah.
He's a good actor.
Yeah, you know, one of the all-time greats. You know, I know he's mostly known for the Columbo stuff, but, you know, he was a lot more than that. He's done some grindhousey things. As a matter of fact, you know, like, I know you're too young to remember this, because one of the grindhouses I hung out in had one of those big panoramic screens and shit.
Right.
And the movie was Castle Keep with him, Burt Lancaster. Shit, who else was in that? Bruce Dern, Mike Conrad, Frederick Forrest. It was just one of those really, it's in the Psychotronica video guide. It's regarded as one of those type of films, and it is. It's one of these really surreal, weird war films, and he was Sergeant Rossi in it. He was also in I believe Anzio with Robert Mitchum as a, you know, sergeant. He's got some great fucking lines in Castle Keep. And I remember it was some, I can't remember the name of the movie, but I remember the name of his character was Rico. He fed somebody a hamburger laid with ground glass.
Man.
The Wild Breed or something.
That's some evil right there.
50s thing. Rebel Breed, maybe? I don't know. I'm not sure. It was some Trump drug. You know, and, you know, don't forget, he was part of that, you know, like that spinoff of the Rat Pack with him, John Cassavetes, and Ben Gazzara, too.
Yeah, that's right.
They did a lot of shit together.
Well, I remember him speaking to WSU for that women's wrestling movie, All the Marbles.
Right, yeah.
That was kind of a grindhouse type of movie, even though it was done by a studio. It still didn't feel like it.
Yeah, well, the old wine, you know, the lower end of the spectrum studio should always end up in a grindhouse anyway.
That's true.
I mean, I just found something, I had the copy of it. I brought it up. We were watching it over the week. It's supposed to be coming out on DVD, to Kill the Irishman.
Oh, yeah, I've got it.
Yeah, and Ray Stevenson is fucking great as Daniel Green.
It's amazing.
You know, here's a cast of a who's who of character actors. This would have been a grindhousey thing back then because you got Val Kilmer, Christopher Walken, Paul Sorvino, Vincent D'Onofrio, Robert Davey, Tony Abbianco, Vinnie Jones, and Stephen Sirippa from The Sopranos. I mean, what a great fucking movie!
I enjoyed the hell out of it.
Talk about an ensemble cast. There's your fucking ensemble cast where you're introduced to characters that you get to know and give a fuck about. Unlike The Expendables, you fucking douchebags.
I like The Expendables.
Oh, stop.
I like
it. Analyze what you're doing. Did you really give a shit about any of those people deep down inside? Did any of them strike a chord within you that you identified with them?
You know what? I just enjoyed the hell out of it because it was such a fun movie.
Just shit.
You're just being mean.
There's a deeper fucking meaning to all this. Just for example, did you see Predators?
Yes.
Okay. Didn't you really give a shit about them people?
I enjoyed Predators.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But you gave a shit about the characters, right?
Well, about the same as I did in Expendables.
You know something? You shouldn't be able to watch movies anymore.
I'm a Stallone fan.
Kid, Expendables, none of them fucking died. It was like setting up cardboard cutouts that don't fucking get knocked down when you shoot them with a BB gun.
Yeah, but it's...
Someone has to die because you give a shit about them and you've upset emotion in it.
Jason Statham and Stallone together, I enjoyed the hell out of it. I didn't care. We had Jet Li kicking the hell out of some people. It was just a fluffy movie, man. You know we've seen tons of those.
No, you have. I haven't. I need deeper meaning. I walk out on shit like that when it's too fucking bubbly gummy.
And this is why you probably never watched many of the Shaw Brothers films.
I've been just reassessing my priorities on certain things, which is a bad fucking sign. As you progress as a child from, into teens, preteens, whatever, I was just thinking of a movie called Macumba Love. And, back in the day when they used to sell packages to TV stations, like over here, PIX had, like Channel 11 had, like, Plan 9 from Outer Space, Giant from the Unknown, Frankenstein's Daughter, Attack of the 50-Foot Woman. They had that package. Channel 9, which was Supernatural Theater, had Macumba Love, Giant Behemoth, Crawling Eye, and stuff like that. But, I couldn't identify with Macumba Love back then because there was no monster. Because I was into monsters. But now, probably if I looked at a film like that, I might appreciate it more. Of course, there's one you never fucking find anywhere, but,
True.
But you get it, like I said, your whole age progression, determines that's why I can go back and pull 70 shit out that I bypassed because I thought it might have sucked, but now it's great.
You crack me up.
I mean, literally, I feel anything that was ever made in the fucking 70s was great.
Well, I have to say, Kill the Irishman did have that kind of feel, and my favorite character in the movie was Vincent D'Onofrio. I just really like him. And, other than, of course, Ray Stevenson, who was just amazing, but...
Oh, yeah.
D'Onofrio, I think, is very underrated. He can play anything at any time, and I really like him. And I was so upset, because, anything can happen. I'm not going to tell people what happens, but anything can happen at any time. You don't know who's going to get nailed or what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I really did. I really liked his character. There's a few of them in there like that I just really thought were good characters.
Well, I love Vinnie Jones. I think he's great. He's one of, I'm looking for people I like to watch, and he's one of them.
I agree. That's why, I love the movies that, all the movies they've done. I like Smokin' Aces, Smokin' Aces 2, The Boondock Saints. I love that kind of stuff. They're getting better.
Yeah, no, some stuff is.
Yeah.
As long as if you get some, he's a credible character actor, and so is D'Onofrio. Walken, we know he's one of the all-time greats.
Yeah, he's great.
Robert Davey, I hadn't seen him in a while. He's always interesting.
Yeah.
As I puff away here. Yeah, it's been one of those days, but what the hell.
I could tell you're tired.
Yeah, it's a 7-hour drive. I blew up there Sunday. I almost made it on a tank of gas. Wild, huh? But I had a load on. I went back and it was like I kept hitting little storms and shit. And then my tendency to piss every fucking 25 minutes doesn't help. So hit the rest there. You know, here's something. You know, I blogged this. Let me take another hit before I put this out.
Okay.
I blogged this on Facebook today about why I hate this area. And it was funny because when I got about an hour away from the Jersey border in Pennsylvania, everything started to suck. It was weird. Honestly, if anybody listening believes that New York is still the way I describe it in past events, they're sadly mistaken. That's part of the reason I'm leaving, and it's the reason a lot of other people have left, because it's not the same. It never will be the same. I would say bordered up, but it's not. It's a sterile caricature of what it used to be and will never come back. As far as I'm concerned, there's nothing happening in that city. Especially because, you know, it's great that Bill Lustig has something at the, you know, film archives every summer, but that's a summer thing. There's nothing on an ongoing basis that would attract the person, you know, into what I'm into. And to pay now almost $10 to drive through the tunnel, you know, $20 to take a fucking bus. I mean, you deal with the traffic, the congestion, the bullshit. It just ain't fucking worth it. I had to do something the Wednesday before I left, and it took me an hour and a half to get through the tunnel. It was a joke. So I'm not really missing anything. So,
well, I think, you know, that's understandable, and it's been a kind of a love hate relationship, and it's kind of funny because I made you a poster that I'm going to put on the internet when you leave. You know, a long time ago, you remember I made you an Escape from New York style poster. Well, I made it Escape from New Jersey. I'm going to put that up for you when you get ready to go.
New Jersey just sucks, man. It's just ridiculous. You know, the property taxes are completely out of control. It's the highest in the country. Everybody around here has an attitude. English is a second language at best. You know, the cops suck. You know, now they're telling you to lock your cars at night because they're stealing the cars out of the town. If you notice, why aren't you watching anything? It's just, I don't know. You know, maybe I'm wrong, but, you know, where I'm at, it looks like every, you know, nice neighborhood. I don't see any bullshit going on. The town sort of polices itself. They don't want any, you know, junk on the property and shit, so I'll have to watch my ass. But, you know, it's one of them deals. There is no point to me staying here. There's no advantage to me staying in New York. Like, you know, Mike from Saturday Night Mirror says, you know, I'll fly in or do whatever we got to do to get you back in. That's fine. That's the way it should be, you know? Because, you know, like I said, my days of doing nothing for nothing are over. I'm not going to drive to New York for a $100 payoff. You know?
Well, and also I think people need to realize that, are, you know, your friends from Jersey, that, you know, you're going to miss all them. You're not saying that the people suck. You're just saying that you don't like the politics there and you're tired of the way things are, basically.
Yeah, the other thing is I don't see anybody. Everybody's got their own lives. You know, like, you know, I'm not involved with anybody, so I don't do shit on weekends. And it's like, you know, people got their own shit. Most of them are, you know, hooked up or involved or whatever. So I'm the odd man out. There's really no – I'm not a drinker, you know, as far – you know, in a controlled environment, yeah, but for me to go fucking sit in a bar, I'm not, you know, I never was into picking up chicks unless they were hookers, and I knew they were hookers, so what the hell. But that's the name of that tune.
Well, you'll be hanging out with Ken a lot, I predict. I think that's going to be good.
Oh, yeah, we're you know, the arch international criminals. We're going to, you know, do shit. So. No, we get along. He's a great friend. He's helped me out a lot with this thing because, you know, if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have found a place and gotten interested in the whole thing. And, you know, we've known each other for 20 years, met at one of the chillers. I think we were both smoking cigarettes back then. We were by the loading dock and shit, so.
I think a
and
lot of
he always
of
had great fucking merchandise. He had zombie kids. I bought a zombie kid off him.
That's awesome.
It was great till a fucking head snapped off and I couldn't put it back on.
Well, I think Ken's a hell of a guy and I really like his wife. I think they're an amazing couple of people, and I really love how he handles business. He's kind of like you and me. He's just a down-to-earth guy. He does everything on a handshake, and you can believe in the guy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, I'm going to do double duty on a panel thing Saturday because I want to do something with Foresight for, you know, as long as I'm allowed to do it. And I think the Vanessa and the Ginger and the Eric and me is going to be, like, completely insane because I already worked with Vanessa, and she's great, and I'm just hoping Ginger's just half as nuts, so, you know.
That'll be awesome.
Hey,
yeah.
It's like, you know, we all know what you did, you know. We're not gonna rub it in your face, literally, you know.
Well, and the fact is, normally they have anecdote stories like Jamie Gillis did that were just so damn funny.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a highlight. You know, that was a really good time, and that was a great panel. The place was standing room only, and man, I remember that very fondly because I was lucky enough to be on the panel with you, and it was just such a eye-opening experience for me because, you know, I'm not that well-versed in adult cinema, so it's kind of like, wow, this is all new to me. And it was pretty shocking.
Yeah, well, you ain't heard nothing yet because she don't really talk about, you know, I haven't brought, you know, I got to work this a different way. Because the New York thing really worked good for what it was, but this may be a whole different angle to work it. So, I don't know.
It's going to be exciting, that's for sure.
Mm.
So what else have you seen lately?
Jeez, I'm trying to think.
I saw one called Blood Knight that was pretty good with our buddy Bill Moseley, and Danielle Harris was in it. It was a pretty good little movie. It kind of was a throwback, you know. It had a lot of gore, and I think later this evening we're going to a midnight show. BloodyDisgusting.com started releasing with AMC these horror movies back in theaters. There's these independent films are uncut, and there's one at midnight. It's called Yellow Brick Road. It got good reviews, so I'm hoping there's maybe a comeback of some originality, if not originality, at least, because Hobo with a Shotgun was great, but it wasn't terribly original in the way that we've seen stuff like that, but it was sure a lot of fun.
It was just goofy and fucking grindhousey. There was one, I just got one in the mail from, Blue Underground just put it out. Oh, man. Shit. I had it sitting here, and I don't see it.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
They put out Cat of Nine Tails on Blu-ray, and all I wanted to do was call Bill and say, Bill, why? Why, man? Why not Terror at the Opera? Why not Suspiria? Why Cat of Nine Tails on Blu-ray? Really?
I don't know. Sometimes what some of these people do has no rhyme or reason.
Well, Bill's pretty on it, and his Blu-rays look gorgeous, but I got to tell you, I about had to sleep through that.
Damn, I can't know something. I can't remember the name of the damn thing.
They put out some good. You know,
something that was with Gloria Graham was her last movie.
Really?
Yeah. See if you can figure it out because I'm tired and stoned and I can't. The fucker was on my desk. I might have packed it up to take it with me because I didn't see it yet.
Uh oh.
Yeah.
I'm tired.
The Nesting. That's what.
Oh,
it was.
The Nesting. The Nesting. Yeah, that came out.
The Armand Weston one, The Nesting.
Did you think it was very good?
I'm out. I didn't like it when I first saw it, but then I don't remember how, you know, fucked up I was when I first saw it. You know something? I might not have seen that in the grindhouse. It might have been on early HBO cable.
I was so kind of,
you know, like when they had the boogans on and things like that.
To me, it was a little slow.
Yeah, well, come on. The guy was a porn director. You know,
House by a Cemetery is finally coming out in this country on September 27th on Blu-ray. I wish it would have come out. Like, the Torso, of course, is great. It's coming. But The Tenth Victim, I'm not sure what to think of that. I like it.
Who's
but
putting
I'm not,
that out?
That's also Blue Underground. That comes out August.
The Tenth Victim is his?
Yeah. I think it's a good movie. I'm not sure if it's worthy of Blu-ray, but it's a pretty good movie.
That's the one with Thursel Andress.
Yeah. She's awesome.
Yeah, I think... fuck, I haven't seen that in years. That hasn't really been around.
True. It might. I haven't seen it in so long. It might be worth it, you know. I just haven't seen it in a long time.
Yeah, you know, it's like, you know, a lot of this stuff you only see once. Like, there was one called 99 and 9/10 Dead. That was a good one. Richard Harris, Edmund O'Brien, Ann Terkel.
Yeah,
that was a good one. I think it was John Frankenheimer directed it.
Well, I don't know if you've seen the news of the new flick. Tarantino's filming. You know, I guess he starts filming. He's either started already or he starts like this month or beginning of next month in July there. Django. He's doing a Django film.
Oh, no.
I knew you were going to have a fit.
My asshole just puckered on that. No. No. Wrong. Bad Quentin. Bad Quentin. Leave it the fuck alone.
You know, I just had to tell you that so you'd have a fit.
You can't be fucking serious.
I'm serious.
Oh, no. If anybody tries to remake The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, they should be fucking castrated with a fucking serrated fucking Ginsu knife that makes you feel the pain after your nutsack has hit the ground.
Well, apparently this is a continuation of the Django saga. It's not a remake or anything.
They already did one. And nobody saw it. It actually... Bill put it out with Anchor Bay. It was Django Strikes Again. It's the only authorized sequel with Franco Nero in it. It was authorized by Sergio Corbucci because they were down in Colombia doing something, and they were kicking around to have nobody ever made a direct sequel. And they said, well, you know, it wouldn't be right to just do this because everybody else has used the name. We should, you know, ask Sergio, and they got his blessing, so they did it. It's interesting. Donald Pleasence is in it. Did you ever see it?
No, I didn't. Is it good?
Oh, yeah, it's great. I love it.
I'd like to see it.
It's what happens is it picks up, you know, where he left off, where he's not Django anymore. It's 25 years later. He's in a monastery.
Wow.
And some ex-prostitute comes to visit him. He's just about to take his vows. And she says that, you know, you have a daughter and she was seized by these river pirates and shit. So he leaves a monastery to get her back, and he's like not being Django and shit. And then the guy, it's Christopher Conley, who's this Nazi.
Ah, I gotcha.
Shit. And they got this like tin mine, I think they're working these guys in. So he takes, you know, it gets Django and, you know, and throws him in the hold, and then what the fuck was it? He's in a prison camp, labor camp with Donald Pleasence. And the thing is, he's obsessed, the Christopher Conley character is obsessed with finding this butterfly that really doesn't exist. So that's why he's got Donald Pleasence there to try, you know, try to catch these butterflies. And he says, you know, it doesn't exist. So they work something out where he puts Django in a barrel and rolls him down a, you know, hill in a garbage dump out of camp. So he goes back. You've seen the original one, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. You remember the cemetery?
Vaguely, yeah.
Yeah. He goes back to the cemetery, and there's like a gravestone, and it says Django on it. So he starts digging. So in the meantime, a hearse comes in, and you know they're burying somebody, and this gang of thieves come in, and they shoot the guy in the hearse, and they're trying to drag this widow out and rape her. And all of a sudden, you hear this voice yell, let the girl go. And they can't see where it is, and the guy goes, oh, you're coming from a grave. It's a good thing you're in a grave. That's where you're gonna end up. So they start walking toward the grave, and all of a sudden Django stands up with the fucking machine gun and mows them all down.
Oh, that's awesome.
Then he looks at the gun and he goes, I have to clean you up. We have much work to do. So he starts going after all Conley's guys. It's pretty nuts. It's way out of print. Because it was when Anchor Bay did it, it was a double with Django and Django Strikes Back.
Gotcha.
But it's like way out of print. How the fuck is he going to pull this off?
I don't know.
Who do you have that can play a credible spaghetti western hero?
That's a good one.
I mean,
I'm
who would you
sure.
put in it? I would put Sid in as a heel.
Well, you've got to have Sid in there.
I would put Sid. No, maybe not even as a heel. I don't know.
It's tough.
You know, and then again, you know what he's going to do is he's probably going to dig up some of these guys that are still floating around, like Aldo, how was it? Shit, what the fuck's his name? Oh, the guy was in Flesh for the Beast, and he was in a ton of shit. Aldo Cantrell.
I'm hoping that there is words that it's going to be Jamie Foxx. Can you believe that?
What?
Yeah.
A black Django?
It's the, you know, I don't know what the hell's going on. It's the craziest thing.
Jamie Foxx is Django?
That's what they're saying.
If Maybe. He does that, someone should castrate Quentin Tarantino. So his genes can't be passed on.
It's called Django Unchained.
Oh, no.
And he's calling it his love letter to Italian spaghetti westerns.
If he, you know, not to be racial, but if he casts a black guy in a role of Django, he's a fucking douchebag.
Well, it's, you know, I'm not racist at all. You know better. But the thing is,
you just love Tracy Morgan at death.
Well, he's an asshole regardless of his color. But it's the fact that, you know, honestly, you and I were going to the show when black cinema was at its peak of originality and awesomeness. And then, you know, we're not talking Spike Lee and all his political crap. We're talking movies that mattered to black audiences and also to us. And, you know, I just wish that people would understand, like, they were going to make Robin in one of the Batman movies way back. They were going to make him a black guy, and it just didn't make sense because the whole reason for Robin was the fact that Bruce Wayne kind of identified with this kid. And there was no, they were going to have him be from the hood.
There was a homoerotic undertone today.
No, there's not.
There was.
It was his ward, man. Don't go down the darkness with this. This is Batman. You know, it'll disturb me for life. Don't do it.
Place I have to go.
But the thing is, you know, it's kind of like doing the black honeymooners, the black this, the black. And I'm like, it's frustrating for me because, you know, in this particular instance, even in Thor, they had a black Norse god. How the hell could that have ever happened? I don't know. There's no way in hell a Norwegian Norse god would have been black. It's just not. I mean, I'm sorry. It may not be politically correct, but it's the truth. Just like this, Jamie Foxx would not have been in the Old West in this capacity. It just wouldn't have happened that way, and that's why I get frustrated.
Yeah, unless they made a black Western called Ride, Motherfucker, Ride.
It's not even right. You know, I'm going, really, guys? Very irritating.
Yeah, if they do that, that's fucked up. I mean, there are people that could play Django. Trying to think who, though. Who would I put in the role of Django? You know, if you really wanted to go fucking Euro, put Oleg Tatarov as Django.
Well, there's, you know,
if you really wanted to be fucking realistic, because you would have to dub in an American voice because he got that heavy Russian accent.
Well, and I'm also thinking of someone, you know.
He's got the fucking right stubble. He's got the right demeanor. He's a big fucking, he can carry a machine gun.
Well, originally he was going to put Will Smith on it. And that, you know, Will Smith backed
down. Give me a fucking break, really.
Yeah. So I'm frustrated because I'm thinking, look, honestly, I'd put like Thomas Jane in the part. Because I love Thomas Jane, and I think he's got that quality that Django had. You know, he's got so much expression.
You were going to crag? No, fuck that. You need a craggy one. Put Ian McShane in it.
Yeah.
Put Ian McShane in it. Even Timothy Olyphant.
Yeah. Oh, he would be great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't even think of him.
Some guy's going to kick fucking ass attitude. Not Jamie Foxx. He played fucking Ray Charles, for Christ's sake. What the fuck?
Yeah. I figured it was going to make you kind of crazy.
Oh, yeah, thanks. I'm not going to sleep tonight now. Yeah. I tell you, they're going to fucking make Tracy Morgan in the next fucking Batman.
Hey, there's no need for that abuse.
Yeah, true that.
Well, you know, they're going to have Leonardo DiCaprio's already accepted it.
For what, Batman?
But no, for the Django movie. But I think he's playing a villain.
Man, my love letter to Italian westerns. You know, I get it. I'm not going to fucking go there. They give me a whole fucking 4 months worth of shit to rip on if this doesn't go right. You know, you're going to create a home. You know, the sad part is, who are you going to dig up to stick in there that's even left? You know, I mean, I know you did it with Kill Bill. You know, with, you know, some of those old, you know, Shaw Brothers guys and shit.
That was awesome. Yeah,
but realistically, I don't know. Who the fuck, you know, all right, Bud Spencer, Terrence Hill, Donald O'Brien, but he isn't well.
I just made your day.
Aldo Cantrell, he's still here. Richard Palacios is still around.
It is a frustration for me because I'm like, dude, you know, George Eastman,
he's still around.
Yeah, George is still around.
I fucking think who else was in that. Kinski's long gone.
What about that dude? Gosh, I'm drawing a blank. He was in all those movies. He was in like Guyana, the Cult of the Damned movie with the Emmanuel version. Remember? Oh man, he was in.
That's another one. Robert Hundar is still alive.
Yeah. This guy was in Eerie Midnight Horror Show. Oh, gosh, I wish I could remember his name off the top of my head.
It's not ringing a bell with me either.
Damn it. He's in a lot of these movies, man. Doggone it. Yeah. I'm going to think of his name, damn it. I'm going to know it.
Well, you know, going back to something, remember when the cool ghoul started first listening and he called in once from China?
Yeah.
I was going to do this whole, you know, a couple of people requested this. And actually, a lot of people requested this. Let me take a drink here.
Ivan Razumov.
It's water. What?
Ivan Razumov.
Oh, yeah. No, he's gone, too.
Oh, is he gone? I didn't know that.
He passed away.
Damn it.
Yeah.
I like him.
I was, you know, people had asked me if I could, you know, do the segue into the golden age of porn or how this all came about or something. And, you know, I can only do it from my own recollection as far as, you know, what, how I saw it unfold and, you know, and from reading how others in the industry saw it unfold. And it's not going to be like a whole thing tonight. I'm going to do this in segments because people have requested it. And my first exposure to any of this shit, you know, like stag films were always a thing. You know, we always knew they were around because they were around since the 30s, you know, 16 millimeter, 8 millimeter. But in 67, the Swedish film called I Am Curious Yellow was seized by the U.S. customs officials and declared obscene. And there was a whole big thing about that. That sort of kicked open the door, and then that the whole deal with... see, they had no rating system prior to that. And then you know, jerk-off Jack Valenti came in with the, you know, G, M... see, it used to be G, PG, then R, then X. Then it was like G, M, R, and X. And they slap X on the dumbest shit. So the weird part is the first major U.S. studio to release with an X rating was Midnight Cowboy, yet I saw it and it won an Oscar. And there's something, too. If you ever want to see something that epitomizes New York back in that era, that's the film. Because I used to go in the bar where they shot the bar scene. And, you know, the movie theaters, you know, were this, you know, crappy fucking, you know, grindhouse on 42nd Street where he gets blown by the nerd. Huh. So, you know, that's the way it was back then. And that, you know, that was, you know, like I said, 68. And that was like, basically that's, you know, when I started hanging over there. So that's got a little, you know, soft spot, you know, for me because, you know, I was there. And then, there was another thing going on, I believe was Alex Dorenzi, photography in Denmark, which was shot in San Francisco. I think they got away with putting that out. And then there was a hairdresser in New York named Gerald Damiano who wasn't doing too well at his chosen profession. So after he had seen I'm Curious Yellow, he decided to try some stuff. And, you know, with the redeeming social value, and he did some early stuff like Marriage Manual, Sex USA, and all this other shit, and a lot of stuff, you know. They didn't do anything, make any money and stuff. And then, like, on the West Coast, you had the Mitchell brothers that were doing stuff. And a lot of stuff they were doing was, you know, female, you know, women masturbating scenes, which seemed to sell very well there. And, you know, they were trying to, you know, do things. And, of course, they get raided and, you know, try to plead, you know, the freedom of speech thing, which they were knocking down. And, it was really fucked up back then. But, you know, everybody thinks that Deep Throat, you know, was the first, you know, porn film shown in major theaters, and it wasn't. It was Mona by Bill Osco, who later, you know, did Flesh Gordon.
Ah.
And that was actually the first one, but, you know, with a plot, you know, not a comedy, you know, a straightforward movie and shit. And there was a just a bunch of different shit going on because you had things that were trying to get out, like Matt Clymer, who had done, you know, early stuff like He and She, and then, you know, Man and Wife, and the first triple X, 35 millimeter triple X film that picked up by an initial distributor. And he was also married to Jane Mansfield at one point.
Wow.
Yeah. And then, you know, you had, you know, you got, this is like a pre-Deep Throat. You know, in the 70s, you had, like, you know, X-rated, you know, they were rated X, but they weren't explicit, like Myra Breckinridge with, you know, Raquel Welch, and, you know, Russ Meyer did Beyond the Valley of the Dolls. So this was actually, the X-rating was fucking them, so they didn't do it. They had to get rid of that whole deal. So then the, you know, the whole, you know, bouncing back in the mores in the 70s and shit, you know, just crazy stuff. And like I said, Mona was the first one. And then, you know, things were drifting around, like, you know, John Holmes, you know, started drifting into loops. And if anyone wants, I'm not going to talk about John Holmes that much, buy my compilation, you know, Signature Performer Series on After Hours Cinema, the John Holmes Project, which has the full-length feature Pam and some loops and my history on John Holmes. So, you know, there. I'm not going to talk about John because you can fucking pay to hear it. But anyway, I digress. you know, in the 70s, you know, you had all these softcore women like, you know, our friend, the great Uschi Dygard, Renee Bond, Marcia Jordan, you know, Sandy Dempsey, Maria Arnold, Candy Samples, and all them. And some went on the hardcore. So, you know, the whole segue like that. And, you know, just these people were, you know, they were coming up, and these films were like, really just like drifting into these theaters, like, trying to think, Dark Dreams, with the Harry Reams and Tina Russell. I think I remember it was Reams' like first speaking role in a hardcore film. He had done a bunch of loops prior to that. Trying to think some of the other stuff that they did. Just, you know, just straight, you know, 16 millimeter stuff like Straight Banana, Crazy Cool, just really dumbass fucking titles. Some of the stuff that I put out. But then, you know, like I said, the whole deal was the whole thing with Deep Throat, which was an accident, you know, with originally it was supposed to be Carol Connors. But then Damiano had seen her do this whole trick with Reams. And, you know, then he went back and he wrote a script around this whole thing. And, you know, the rest is history. So, and everybody knows I just, like, kicked the shit out of everything in 72. And, you know, the straight world embraced it because it just got so much straight media attention that they were lined up out there, you know, at trying to, like, the World Theater in New York and things. So, yeah, it was just incredible. And then, let's see, it played 39 weeks in this theater. It shut down, had to shut it down and pay a $100,000 fine. Yeah. In 72, its run at one L.A. theater would last over 8 years. Oops, excuse me, I got a burp. What is on the tape? I don't know, should I belch? Sorry. It was a little spicy food. What the fuck? Well, reality fucking radio, that's it. Yeah. And then Marilyn Chambers was another one. You know, she was from New England. And here's a fun fact. She was married to a bagpipe player. And she was in a film, I believe it was, correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't this a Wes Craven thing called Together? I know it was like a
I think you're
thing.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. And she somehow got involved with the, I don't know what it was. She answered an ad that the Mitchell brothers had out, and then, you know, they really liked what they saw, and they gave her a role in Behind the Green Door, and the rest is history. So, and that became, you know, still is today, they got much pretty much a lock on that, even though they're both dead. That's one of the top-selling video cassettes and DVDs of all times and still sells. And it was just, you know, shame to lose her. But, you know, here we had, you know, the East Coast was Linda Lovelace. The West Coast was Marilyn Chambers. So those were the two big stars. And then, you know, you had The Devil and Miss Jones with Georgina Spelvin, you know, a good friend who was on the show a couple times, who's retired, and she's got all kinds of blogs and stuff out and things. So she's doing well. And, you know, like I said, you know, we've already, you know, covered her. And, you know, of course, you know, Devil and Miss Jones was really praised as an artistic achievement also.
Well, yeah, for its time.
Yeah. And then they doubled it up because it was the same distributors, which became later the infamous Bryanston Pictures, run by, you know, the Perugino family. We all know about that whole deal. So, yeah, there was a lot of shit going on with that. But, you know, we're going to stop there. This is going to be part one because you can't, you know, base the whole thing on that. But we're going to continue with that because, like I said, it's such an interesting, you know, subject, and, you know, it's so rich in history, and it has spun off so much other things, like, you know, guys that have started in porn that have gone, you know, into horror films, like we just said, you know, that Armand Weston thing, The Nesting, and David Durston, I Drink Your Blood, you know, and then Marilyn, you know, crossing over into, you know, horror films like, you know, with Rabid and, you know, Ginger Lynn, who, you know, appeared in, you know, some of these, you know, Linnea Quigley Police Academy or Police Story. What the fuck were those things anyway?
Vice Academy. Yeah.
Yeah, Vice Academy. It all bleeds together.
I enjoyed a couple of those.
Yeah. So yeah, like I said, there's just such an interesting history, and you know, unfortunately, to me, the history has already hit the wall. It's done. It's over. Now it's just a corporate fucking entity that spits out cookie cutter. You know, everybody knows cookie cutter women. They're all blondes. They all got big tits, and they all got tattoos. And which one is Stormy Daniels, Nasty Weather, Hairy Pussy, whatever? I don't fucking know. I don't care. Yeah. The formulas have been the same since ancient history, since the first caveman put a little obscene drawing on the wall. Cock and cunt. That's it. Bye. No story.
Listen to you.
I put it to 3 C's. You have to have the 3 C's to make a porn film. Cock, cunt, cum. That's it. And you're out there. Anything else is inconsequential.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So that's why the internet killed the porn business, because, you know, most guys, it's over in under 5 minutes. You know. So, yeah, they come home, flip on the, you know, the free ads and rub one out before the ad runs out. And that's Miller time.
Jeez.
That's why we got a bunch of fat fucks who can't communicate. I wonder if the women do it, too. Amy always says that she thinks these guys are beating off over the wrestling shit, you know. You know, with some people, I wouldn't be surprised.
That's pretty crazy.
I know.
It's probably like right.
I really wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. Sad but true.
Well, I have 2 new products on the market. I don't know if have I tried to sell any of my own shit lately?
Not for a while, no.
No, okay. I did say I have Extreme Sleaze Volume 3, the Peepland collection, with the Todd Sheets midget dedication. It's, you know, barnstorming its way across the nation. And then...
thanks again for that, you know, by the way.
It was my pleasure. Amrith enjoyed it, too. It was special, she said. Yeah. And then Night at the Venus came out, and these are 3 films that I had seen myself at the Venus. And it's Teenage Fantasies with Renee Bond, Flesh of the Lotus with John Holmes, and The Horny Landlady with Vanessa Del Rio. And some odd-ass trailer that just happened to be on the tail end of The Horny Landlady, which, you know, even if they ran at the Venus, nobody would have gave a fuck anyway, because nobody cared what was playing. So we had that, and I think, yeah, we came out with the Sleazy Grindhouse Picture Show, Volume 2, Night at the Harem. The Harem, which was Shoebox Theater. It was open 24/7 on the corner of 42nd and 8th. Really not a nice place to be after hours, but they would show 4 features, and I pretty much, you know, shot my thing in a different aspect as a timeline of being in there. And, you know, the real switching and all that. So I try to, like, give, you know, the viewer a sense of what it was back in there, the same with the Venus. So, you know, describing the Venus as what it was, you know, it became, you know, known as the Hobo Hilton, because $3 to get in the afternoon went to $5 after dark. You know, it's open until 7 o'clock in the morning, so basically these idiots could sleep there. Of course, you run the risk of getting rolled, your pockets picked, you know, waking up with your dick in some 300-pound transsexual's mouth, but what the fuck. That was New York.
Lovely times.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll continue with that. And like I said, I got a few people that have asked to be on. The one guy was, you know, the director of The Creature. We're going to have him on. Somebody else emailed me, you know. Thing is, we are looking for sponsors or advertisers or whatever, because Mike Lisa will tell you when he comes on that, you know, we had his little bit on before, you know, Saturday Nightmares and the advertising that we had done for him. We did spike his ticket sales right after that show. So people listen to this show. People, you know, seem to, you know, value my opinion and, you know, like what I do. So, you know, you go by that. But, you know, we've drawn a lot of attention to WSU. We've had people come out that normally wouldn't come out. Same with Cinema Wasteland. So it might be worth, you know, throwing a couple of bucks our way so I can basically survive in Ohio without picking up cans on the side of the road. So...
I'm saying, man. I don't think people realize. You know, we put a lot of our heart and soul and our pockets in this thing.
Yeah, that was a shameless pitch, but it's true. I mean, you know, you want me to put over your DVD, fine. Send it to me. Let me watch it. You want to pay for a little advertising spot. If I don't like it, I'm going to tell you what I can't put it over and tell you what I think was wrong. And, you know, we'll part as friends because I don't want to embarrass anybody. But I'm not going to, you know, put over something I don't disagree, I disagree with, or I didn't, you know, didn't think was good. I've had a lot of people send me DVDs and I asked them to stop because, you know, everybody's a filmmaker today, which I respect, but I can't spend all my time watching some of this stuff because I got to make a living. And quite frankly, a lot of it isn't that good. I was lucky early on to come across some cool people in California that had made this film called Acid. Don't mind me, I'm so fucking tired, I can't think straight. Made this film called Acid Bath, which I thought was great, and they were Warp Reality Pictures. I'm hoping they're still doing some, you know, stuff. You know, like you lose touch, you know, on the internet and shit sometimes, and don't mean to, but, you know, life has a tendency to take over. So, and the other movie was Pervert, the movie.
Oh,
Russ
yeah.
Meyer homage.
That was
I had
fun.
Gotten that, you know, I also gotten that, you know, a screening up at Wasteland along with Acid Bath, and that got picked up, and, you know, they, you know, it was a good flick. But yeah, some stuff works, some stuff doesn't for me. And I just, like, at certain points, you know, a couple of years ago, I had a lot of time on my hands where I could do this shit. Right now I don't, because you know, like I said, this show's on the fly because I wasn't sure I was going to be back in time to do it. And I had a couple of people I wanted to get on, but, too late, too much less notice, but we'll be having people on, and Amy is probably going to be retired. We're going to have a little retirement show for her too, which hopefully won't be as well. It's going to be with Amy. It's going to be fucking crazy. Who am I saying? I may as well just hook everybody up and sit back like I did before. So we know what's going to happen, but
it's true.
You know, I'm not giving up. Like I said, I might have to take a hiatus for a couple of weeks. But, you know, it's important to me to get this done and get it done right. So. It's no big whoop, but when I come back, there's going to be a lot going on. You know, a lot of people want to do stuff. You know, I've sort of gotten involved, you know, come up with another company that, you know, we're putting on the WSU, Best of the WSU DVD, and, you know, we got some other things going on. We made a deal with Mike Watt and Amy Lynn Best for some of their stuff, and we're going to be putting that out, you know, nationally, because, you know, they got some good stuff there, so... You know, it may open the door where if some filmmaker feels they have something really worth putting out, we agree with it. You know, I don't know what we can give you as far as financial compensation. We can try to get in stores and see if it sells and work it from there. You know, if we think, you know, I'm not going to walk around saying, oh, I'm going to give you this, I'm going to give you that, because I'm not. Because I put, you know, my own money into the WSU project, and hopefully it'll bring back enough for me to continue to do so.
There you go.
You want to make a library, and you want to make something good. And from what I understand, the feds are cracking down on torrent sites. So adios, motherfuckers. Told you what happened.
Good, good.
That's it for this week. Until next week, we'll come up with something else weird. But thanks for listening to my incoherent rant. We'll be right back.
Hurry, step right up to the ticket window for a mere $3.50. That's your ticket to an all-night, 24/7 evening at the Grindhouse. You want spaghetti westerns? How about The Man with No Name? Django? Yeah, they're all in here. How about some bikers like the Hell's Angels, Satan's Slaves, Satan's Sadists? You want some blood and guts? Well, how about H.G. Lewis, Andy Milligan, John Carpenter, George A. Romero, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, The Ghastly Ones, Ilsa, She-Wolf of the SS? All those hot, horny mistresses guaranteed to dominate your dreams. They're all yours right here in the Grindhouse.
So grab yourself a seat on Saturday night. The booze.